Here we go. Nice to see everybody. We got a lot of people tonight. So we're going to continue with our study of the Bhagavad Gita, and we are starting the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. It's a very exciting chapter about attaining the Supreme, and we're going to find out how to remember Krishna at the time of death. Very, very interesting discussion. Let me just check my sound. All right. Sound all right, sound all right. One. Sounds, test. Okay, we're going to chant Radha Madhava, as we usually do in the beginning. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Vihari. Gopi Jana Malabha Kiri Padadharuti. Gopi Jana Malabha Kiri Padadharuti. Yashodanandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashodanandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Malabha Kiri Paradhavi. Gopi Jana Malabha Kiri Paradhavi. Yashodanandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashodanandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravitacharya Osatara Satoshi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananana Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Jai Iskan Haunduracharya Srila Prabhupada Jai Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrindika Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Jai. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Rava Nityananda Shivaya Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Jai. Shishi Radhakrishna. Gopi Gopinath. Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Kiri Govardhan Jai. Vrindavanam Jai. Maturidam Jai. Jagannathasami Kajai Manamai Kajai. Shimadi Lassi Devi Gajai, Samaveda Bhakta, Vrinda Gajai, Go, Premananda Hadevi. All glorious he assembled devotees, all glorious he assembled devotees, all glorious he assembled devotees, all glorious to Shi, Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada, Gajai, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Vistaya, Guru, Shimadi Bhakta, Swami, Namani. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani, Pacharni, Nibhisesa, Sinivari, Vashyat, and Vejatari. So, Omaganatu Minanda Shah, Gananjana, Shilakaya, Chakshur, and Meditam, Yena, Tasmai, Shi, Garavena, Maha. So, I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada. So kindly open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So So let us start with the eighth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Attaining the Supreme. Okay, let us share the screen here. Here we go. And I think there's a little explanation in the chapter in the beginning. Let's go back a little bit. Hold on a second. Yeah, little explanation. Chapter 8, Attaining the Supreme. By remembering Lord Krishna in devotion throughout one's life, and especially at the time of death, one can attain his supreme abode beyond the material world. All right, text 1. And Arjuna is asking a question. Arjuna Vacha, Kim Tad Brahma, Kim Adhyatmam, Kim Karma Purushottama, Adivutam Chakim Poktam Adivaivam, Kim Uchate. Arjuna Vacha, Arjuna said, Kim what? Tat Brahma, Brahman. Kim what? Adhyatmam, the self. Kim what? Karma, fruit of activities. Purusha Uttama, the supreme person. Adibhutam, the material manifestation. Cha and Kim, what, Proktam, is called Adidaivam, the demigods. Kim, what, Uchite, is called. Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? In other words, what is spirit? What is a self? What are fruit of activities? We talked about that before. What is this material manifestation? And what are the demigods? Please explain this to me. So this is actually very important that Arjuna is asking questions about these things. As we know, human life is differentiated from animal life in that humans ask these sorts of questions. You know, what is spirit? What is matter? What's the purpose of life? What happens at the time of death? How can I determine where I'm going at the time of death? Where did I come from? Human life actually begins at that point. Otherwise, it is simply polished animal life with just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So these are important questions. Purport. In this chapter, Lord Krishna answers different questions from Arjuna. Beginning with, what is Brahman? The Lord also explains karma, fruit of activities, devotional service, and yoga principles, and devotional service in its pure form. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the supreme absolute truth is known as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And we went through that before. Brahman is the energy, Paramatma is Krishna in the heart, Bhagavan is Krishna in his abode in the spiritual world, in his personal form, interacting in a very intimate way with his devotees. In addition, the living entity, the individual soul, is also called Brahman. Krishna is Brahman, we're Brahman. Brahman means spirit. Arjuna, but we are not Parabrahman, the highest Brahman. Krishna is the highest Brahman or the supreme Brahman. Arjuna also inquires about Atma, which refers to the body, soul, and mind. Atma means the self. So some people think the Atma is the body, some people the soul think the Atma is the mind, and some people think it's the soul. It's actually the soul. According to the Vedic dictionary, Atma refers to the mind, soul, body, and senses also. Self. Arjuna has addressed the Supreme Lord as Purushottama, supreme person. Uttama is like a superlative. A Purusha means person. And Uttama, it's a conjunct between the two words. Purusha is person. Uttama means the highest, the supreme person. Which means that he was putting these questions not simply to a friend, but to the supreme person, knowing him to be the supreme authority, able to give definitive answers, the best answers. Text 2. Adiyajna katam kotra dehi smin madhusudana payana kale chakatam geosi niyatatma bahi. Adiyajna, the Lord of Sacrifice. Katam, how? Ka, who? Atra, here. Dehi and the body. As men this, Madhusudana, O Madhusudana, Prayana Kale, at the time of death, Cha Katam Hao, Ye Asi, you can be known, At Anita Atma Bhi, by the self-control. Who is the Lord of sacrifice? That's Krishna. And how does he live in the body? O Madhusudana, Krishna's addressed as Madhusudana here, because there was a demon, the Madhu demon. And Krishna killed him. So he's addressed as Madhusudana. And how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? Very important questions. Who should we serve and sacrifice everything to? How does the super soul live in the body? Oh, Madhusudana, Krishna, destroy these demons I have, demons of doubt. Actually, this is what's why Krishna is referred to here as Madhusudana. And how can we know you at the time of death? So, Lord of Sacrifice may refer either to Indra or Vishnu. It's interesting, depending on your perspective. Vishnu is the chief of the primal demigods, including Brahma and Shiva, and Indra is the chief of the administrative demigods. So when I say Lord of Sacrifice, I mean Vishnu, and actually Krishna. Both Indra and Vishnu worship by yajna performance. Yajna means, all right, let me explain that to those who know what a yajna is. Yajna is, basically, sometimes translated as sacrifice, but it's a performance, not only a fire sacrifice, which many of you will see, but it can be a sacrifice or engaging one's intelligence and mind in different activities for a higher purpose. For example, Sankirtan, or the chanting of the Lord's holy names, is a yajna, and there's no fire there. But here Arjuna asks who is actually the Lord of yajna sacrifice and how the Lord is residing within the body of the living entity. So he's referring to the Lord of sacrifice as Krishna or Paramatma. Arjuna addresses the Lord as Madhusudana because Krishna once killed, here's what I spoke about before, a demon named Madhu. Actually, these questions, which are of the nature of doubts, should not have arisen in the mind of Arjuna because Arjuna is a Krishna conscious devotee. Therefore, these doubts are like demons. Since Krishna is so expert in killing demons, Arjuna addressed him as Madhusudana so that Krishna might kill the demonic doubts that arise in Arjuna's mind. Actually, when Krishna was in Vrindavan, practically there were so many demons every day. And this is so that Krishna could enjoy himself in these heroic activities, and chivalrous activities. Now, the word Prayana Kale in this verse is very significant because whatever we do in life will be tested at the time of death. Wow. So it's not that you can just switch your consciousness at the time of death. It's whatever you're actually absorbed in throughout your life, or at least at the final few years of life, then that's what you're going to actually think about at the time of death. Arjuna is very anxious to know of those who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness. What should be their position at the final moment? At the time of death, all the bodily functions are disrupted and the mind is not in a proper condition. Thus, disturbed by the bodily situation, one may not be able to remember the Supreme Lord. Right? Maharaj Kulakshekara, a great devotee, prays, my dear Lord, just now I am quite healthy and it's better that I die immediately so that the swan of my mind can seek entrance at the stem of your lotus feet. That's an interesting question. I mean, what are we going to do? Let's say we're unconscious at the time of death. So what happens then? Well, Prabhupada said that Krishna will not forget you. If you were serving Krishna, it's not just like some ritual that you can be a rascal your whole life and then just like have someone like chant Hare Krishna here and go back to Godhead. The point is that Krishna will actually enable you to remember him. Even if you're in a very difficult situation or your body is just like causing you so much pain, or, I mean, let me give the example, or you're unconscious at the time of leaving the body. Let's give the example of Grandfather Bhishma. Grandfather Bhishma was covered by arrows and lying basically in a bed of arrows on the battlefield. And it came time, before he left his body, it was time for him to speak some philosophy and practical things too. So Krishna actually used his mystic powers, Krishna's Yogeshwara, to take away all the pain from Grandfather Bhishma, even though there were so many arrows, as described, he couldn't even put a finger between the arrows in his body. So Krishna will arrange things. We have to have complete faith in Krishna. It's not a mechanical process to remember Krishna at the time of death. It's a process of love and devotion. And then Krishna is attracted by that. And Krishna will just put himself in our mind. When we leave the body, Krishna will take us personally. Krishna will come personally to take us to the spiritual world. The metaphor is used because the swan, a bird of the water, takes pleasure in digging into the lotus flowers. Its sporting proclivity is to enter the lotus flower. Maharaj Kulakshetra says to the Lord, "Now my mind is undisturbed and I am quite healthy. If I die immediately thinking of you or lotus feet, then I'm sure that my performance of your devotional service will become perfect. But if I have to wait for my natural death, then I do not know what will happen because at that time my bodily functions will be disrupted. My throat will be choked up and I do not know whether I shall be able to chant your name. Better let me die immediately." Arjuna questions how a person can fix his mind on Krishna's lotus feet at such a time. Of course, that's Maharaj Kulakshetra's prayer, but we understand Krishna will help us. Krishna will help us no matter where we are when we leave our bodies, no matter what we're doing, if we're absorbed in Krishna's service, then Krishna will help us remember him. So, next verse. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Aksaram Brahma Paramam Supavo Yatmam Uchte Buddha Bhavo Bhavakaro Visarga Karma Slangyataha. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, "Aksaram, indestructible, Brahma, Brahman, Paramam, transcendental, Swabhava, eternal nature, Adhyatman, the self, Uchite is called Buddha Bhava Udbhava Karaha, producing the material bodies of the living entities. Visharga, creation, karma, fruit of activity, Sangitaha is called." The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the indestructible, transcendental living entity is called Brahman. That's us. Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman. Not the Supreme Brahman, but I am spirit. I am not this body. And his eternal nature is called Adhyatma, the self. In other words, our self is Brahman. It's eternal. We were not born. We do not die. We're not this body. You get it. Action pertaining to the development of the material bodies, the living entities, is called karma or food or activities. In other words, the material body that we have now, the family we were born in, and all that other not nice stuff, or it's nice stuff, it's all due to our karma, things we did in the past, and we're situated in this world due to that past karma. However, when you take Krishna consciousness up, then you don't have that karma anymore, but you're still stuck with this body that you got due to your previous karma. And what can you do about it? Nothing. You're just stuck with it and you use it to serve Krishna. Brahman is indestructible and eternally existing, and its constitution is not changed at any time. But beyond Brahman, there is Parabrahman. Brahman refers to the living entity, and Parabrahman refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The constitutional position of the living entity is different from the position he takes in the material world. In other words, whoever we are in the spiritual world has basically no relationship to who we are in the material world. I mean, for example, you know, I'm an American. There's no Americans in the spiritual world. That's true. I hate to say that. There's no flags or anything like that. So we're different. You know, obviously, in the material consciousness, his nature is to try to be the lord of matter. But in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, his position is to serve the Supreme. When the living entity is in material consciousness, he has to take on various bodies in the material world. That's called karma, or varied creation by the force of material consciousness. In Vedic literature, the living entity is called Jivatma. That means the Atma of the Jiva, or the soul of the Jiva. And that's the individual soul. And Brahman, so the individual soul is spiritual Brahman, but he is never called Para Brahman. Para means transcendental. That's really easy to understand. The living entity, Jivatma, takes different positions. Sometimes he merges into the dark material nature and identifies himself with matter. And sometimes he identifies himself with the superior spiritual nature. Therefore, he is called the Supreme Lord's marginal energy. Marginal means we can go either way. According to his identification with material or spiritual nature, he receives a material or spiritual body. In material nature, he may take a body from any of the 8,400,000 species of life and a variety in each one of those species. But in spiritual nature, he has only one body. In fact, in spiritual nature, he is his body. He's not different from the body. It's not that duality. In the material nature, there's a duality. We're not our body. We're just driving it. Machine, yantra. In the material nature, he is manifest sometimes as a man, demigod, animal, beast, bird, etc., according to his karma. We've been through all those things. One point, I was a demigod. One point, I was a cockroach. One point, I was a lion. One point, I was a vulture. It's true. We're just going up and down, you know. Actually, there's an interesting story in the Mahabharata I should tell in this regard. Once upon a time, there was a worm. And this worm was trying to cross the road very quickly. It doesn't have legs, obviously. It was squirming across the road. And as it was crossing the road, Srila Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedic literatures, came upon it. And said, what was it, Narada Muni? Anyway, it was a sage. I think Vyasadeva or a sage or Narada or something. I forget. It was actually a great spiritual personality. Anyway, so he came upon this worm and he asked the worm, why are you going so quick? And at that point, worms could talk. It's like a Walt Disney film. The worm said, because there's a cart coming and it's going to squish me. And so Vyasadeva said, well, let me tell you your future. In your next life, you will take a higher birth. Maybe a butterfly, because worms turn into butterflies. Not all worms. Next life, higher birth. Next life, higher birth. Then he went through, you know, all these different species and stuff like that. And he said, finally, you will become a Shudra, and then a Vaishya. And when you're a Vaishya, I'll be your guru. And when you're a Kshatriya, I'll be your guru. And a Brahmin, I'll be your guru. And finally, you'll become a devotee. And then you go back to Godhead. And so the worm said, well, better not hang around this worm body. So he remained in the middle of the road and squish. And anyway, he made his way up. So you may think, shoo, that's a long process. Well, we are so fortunate that by the chanting of the Lord's holy names, even a worm can be Krishna conscious. I mean, there's a story of a dog who became Krishna conscious in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. I'll tell you that story. Several stories of dogs, but just one story I'm going to tell you right now. Once upon a time, there was this dog that was accompanying the devotees on their way to see Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri. And this great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, he was maintaining all the devotees and also maintaining the dog. Because anyone who takes shelter of you, it's your extreme responsibility to take care of them. You can't neglect it. It's actually one of the most sinful things to neglect someone who takes the shelter of you. And I'll tell another story about that in a second. So anyway, so his dog was following him, and then at one particular point, the dog left, and Shivananda Sen was pretty upset because he felt guilty he had not fed the dog or something like that. And the dog actually went ahead of the devotees and went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seen when the devotees arrived there, throwing like coconut pulp to the dog, and the dog was catching it and eating it and chanting the holy names. Because when you're Lord Chaitanya, you can do things like that. And the dog went back to home, back to Godhead. Okay, so this is pretty good. So by taking prasadam and associating with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hina hina yata chilo harinam uduvilo, anybody can go back to Godhead, even the dog. Here's another story about a dog, and this is not about Lord Chaitanya, but anyway, how one should take care of a living entity who has taken shelter of you. Once upon a time, Maharaj Yudhisthira was getting ready to leave this world and go to the heavenly planets. And so his brothers had already passed away. His wife had already passed away. So he was there, like in the Himalayas and in the north. And then a dog was following him. And he was taking care of the dog. And then Indra from the heavenly planets comes down, excuse me, and says, you can go back. Come with me. And Yudhisthira Maharaj says, can the dog go too? And Indra said, no, can't go there. And then Yudhisthira refused to accept the highest material benediction because he understood that he was responsible for taking care of that dog. I mean, a very interesting story. And eventually the dog reveals himself as Yamaraj, and he was testing Yudhisthira's sense of compassion and responsibility towards even a dog. So this is very important for us to take responsibility for others and be ready to even sacrifice for the welfare of others. This is the highest principle in Krishna consciousness. So let's continue here. I mean, I have more stories about dogs, but let's not do that. To attain material heavenly planets, enjoy the facilities, sometimes perform sacrifice yajna, but when his merit is exhausted, he returns to earth again in the form of a man. This is process is called karma. So in other words, all right, let's explain. So he goes to heaven, you know, he does a lot of pious things, and then leaves his body, heaven, you know, heaven's great. This is not the spiritual world we're talking about, this is material heaven, okay? In heaven, you got so many facilities, you don't get old, you don't get sick. There's basically everything is really nice. The mangoes are as big as Hillsboro. And they have, basically, there's rivers of mango juice. Pretty nice. Everything is just like, wow, it's great. Everyone's beautiful or handsome or something like that. And yes, cool place. Actually, the prophet said that Hawaii is almost like heaven. So don't go to Hawaii, because then you'll forget Krishna. And the problem with heaven, you actually forget Krishna a lot more easily because everything is so nice. So it's good to have a little bit of misery, spicy stuff in there. So anyway, so that's heaven. But the problem is, you've done a lot of good things, you go to heaven, okay. Then, shine punya marcha lokam vishanti. When all the results of your good things that you did run out, it's like a bank account. You know, you work, put money in the bank account, and then gradually the balance goes down when you retire. Some people even get a reverse mortgage on their house. And at the time they die, they have nothing to leave to their children, just whatever, the bank takes over the house. So anyway, so you're up there in the heavenly planets and the balance of good karma runs out and all of a sudden your garland turns wilts and you're on your way out, buddy, and back to earth. Then you got to start the whole thing over again. Krishna consciousness is not like that. You go to the spiritual world, eternal. It's not that your good karma runs out and you come back from the spiritual world. No, you stay there. The Chandogya Upanishad describes the Vedic sacrificial process. Whoops, this is the phone. We have to turn off again. On the sacrificial altar, five kinds of offerings are made to five kinds of fire. The five kinds of fire are conceived as the heavenly planets, clouds, earth, man, and woman, and the five kinds of sacrificial offerings are faith, the enjoyer on the moon, rain, grains, and seven. Don't have to worry about that sacrifice. We chant Hare Krishna. In the process of sacrifice, the living entity makes specific sacrifices to attain specific heavenly planets and consequently reaches them. When the merit of sacrifice is exhausted, the living entity descends to earth in the form of rain, then takes on the form of grains, and the grains are eaten by man and transformed to semen, which impregnates a woman. And thus the living entity once again attains the human form, performs sacrifice, and so repeat the same cycle. In this way, the living entity perpetually comes and goes on the material path. The Krishna-conscious person, however, avoids such sacrifices. He takes directly to Krishna consciousness and thereby prepares himself to return to God. You don't waste any time. Impersonalist commentators, that means people who think God is ultimately just energy. So they comment on the Bhagavad Gita and they unreasonably assume that Brahman takes the form of Jiva in the material world. And to substantiate this, they refer to chapter 15, verse 7 of the Gita. But in this verse, the Lord also speaks of the living entity as an eternal fragment of myself. The fragment of God, the living entity, may fall down into the material world, but the Supreme Lord, Achyuta, that's the name of Krishna, which means not fallen. Chyuta means to fall. Achyuta means not to fall, never falls down. Therefore, this assumption that the Supreme Brahman assumes the form of Jiva is not acceptable. The Supreme Brahman does not assume my form or my nature. That's Krishna. It is important to remember that in Vedic literature, Brahman, the living entity, we are Brahman, is distinguished from Parabrahman, the Tat Brahman, the Supreme Lord. Remember, we never become God. I would never want to be God. What a job. I just want to be a servant of God. There's more enjoyment in being a servant of God. Even Krishna was God. God is Krishna. Even Krishna wants to be a servant of God, and therefore he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of his devotee, because there's more enjoyment in serving God than in being God. Remember that. Text 4. Adibhutam kshatao bhava purushas charidayavatam adiyagyoham evatra dehi deha utambara. Adibhutam, the physical manifestation, you know that which you perceive. Kshara, constantly changing bhava nature. Purusha, the universal form, including all the demigods like the sun and moon. Cha and adidayavatam, called adidayava. Adiyagya, the super soul. Aham, I, Krishna, eva. Certainly, atra in this deha body, deha vritam of the embodied vara, O best. O best of the embodied beings. That's an interesting way to refer to Arjuna, because he's a devotee. He's the best of the embodied beings, the beings who have bodies. The physical nature, which is constantly changing, is called adibhuta, what you perceive, the material manifestation. It's always in flux. As one pre-Socratic philosopher said, you cannot step into the same river twice, because the river's flowing. So because of the time factor, material energy is always just like flowing. We may not see the flowing, but things change moment to moment, instant to instant. The universal form of the Lord, which includes all the demigods, like those of the sun and moon, is called Adidaiva. So universal form is a form, a conception, not actually a spiritual body, but it's a conception that people have to bring them to the point of understanding the greatness of God. For example, before I came to Krishna consciousness, I used to camp during the summer, and I would look up at the sky and see all the stars and just think, you know, this is the universal form. This is like God, how great God is. So this is a conception that helps us understand. Sometimes that conception is exhibited by Krishna for specific purposes, like Krishna did in the Bhagavad Gita, or as Bhagavad Gita was being spoken. In the 11th chapter, we'll read about that, when he wanted to shock Arjuna and actually prove to Arjuna that he is God. And actually, Prabhupada would say often that if someone says they're God, we should ask them to show the universal form. And certainly they cannot do that. And I, the Supreme Lord, represent as the super soul in the heart of every embodied being, am called Adiyagya, the Lord of Sacrifice. We went over that before. Adiyagya is the Lord of Sacrifice. And sometimes people think that's Indra, but it's actually Krishna and his expansions. Adibhuta means the material manifestation, the things that we can perceive with the senses. You got it? And the demigods are generally called Adidaiva, or the planets, or the universal form. The physical nature is constantly changing. Material bodies generally pass through six stages. They are born. They are really cute when they're born. They grow. They still maintain some of their cuteness. They remain for some duration. Cuteness goes away. Produce some byproducts. Byproducts are cute. Sorry. And these children. And then they dwindle old age. And then, boom, vanish. Those are the six stages that indicate something is alive. Born, right? Then grow. Then sort of a stasis or static situation. And then there's some reproduction. And then that's it. That's it, buddy. It's all downhill from there. It's actually all downhill after the growing stage. This physical nature is called Adibhuta. It is created at a certain point and will be annihilated at a certain point. Sometimes Prabhupada would say, and repeating the words of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that the whole show is temporary. Or William Shakespeare would say, life is but a poor player that struts and frets his time upon the stage and then is heard no more. Or in the Bible it says, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So in other words, the material creation is there, then the whole thing is dissolved. Then it's created again, whole thing is dissolved. Then it's created again, whole thing is dissolved. Created again, whole thing is dissolved. So this is something like the seasons. The Vedic conception of time is more or less circular. The Western conception of time generally is more or less linear. And even in many religions in the West, you have a conception of the day of judgment and the end time. And after that, it's all over, baby. But that's not true. We don't see, nature doesn't act like that. We see that there is winter, spring, summer, fall. Winter, spring, summer, fall. Winter, spring, summer, fall. So it's again and again this creation. Bhutva, bhutva, paliyate, that's the Sanskrit. Again and again this creation is there. Of course, it's a long time span. It's not going to be destroyed within our lifetime, within many lifetimes. The conception of the universal form of the Supreme Lord, which includes all the demigods and their different planets, is called Adidaivata. And present in the body along with the individual soul is the Supersoul, a plenary representation of Lord Krishna. The Supersoul is called Paramatma, Supreme Soul, or Adiyagya, the person whom we offer sacrifice to, and is situated in the heart. Not maturely in the heart. If you've got a heart operation, you will never see super soul. But the presence is manifest in the heart. Just like a reflection of the sun or the moon in different bodies of water. The word Eva is particularly important in the context of this verse because by this word, the Lord stresses that the Paramatma is not different from him. Super soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seated beside the individual soul, is the witness of the individual soul's activities and the source of the soul's various types of consciousness. In other words, you are being spied on right now. That is enough to make you really paranoid. He's watching you. Of course, the Western, let's say, perverted reflection of that would be someone like Santa Claus. You know that song? He knows when you've been sleeping. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. So that's not true. So the Krishna knows everything. And actually, we all often say that he has a book, you know, writes down. But he doesn't need a book, doesn't need a computer. He's aware of everything. It's pretty embarrassing thinking super soul with you everywhere. But that's life. The super soul gives the individual soul. So another thing, he's the source of the soul's various types of consciousness. As we mentioned before, Krishna reciprocates. Whatever you want, you get. You want to forget him? Okay, here's a facility to forget me. The super soul gives the individual soul an opportunity to act freely and witnesses his activity. Sometimes the description in the Upanishads is it's like two birds in the same tree. So there's two souls in one sense. There's us and the super soul is looking at us and saying, when is this rascal going to turn back to me? He's just nonsense. It's just like Krishna's like put a chip in us so he can see us, you know, computer chip. The functions of all these different manifestations of the Supreme Lord automatically become clarified for the pure Krishna conscious devotee engaged in transcendental service to the Lord. In other words, by serving Krishna, it's very easy to understand this. A gigantic universal form of the Lord is called Adidaivata and is contemplated by the neophyte who cannot approach the Supreme Lord in his manifestation in the super soul. You know, it's just like, wow, everything is Krishna. Krishna is so great. The neophyte is advised to contemplate the universal form or Bharat Purusha, that means universal person, whose legs are considered the lower planets, whose eyes are considered the sun and moon, and his head is considered the upper planetary system. It's a conception. It's not actually Krishna. It's not Vishnu Tattva. But it's a conception that one meditates on. So you can come to the understanding, it's at least a humbling conception. So you can come to the understanding that God is great. That's all. And we don't do that. We don't meditate on the universal form. It's not pleasing. It's not enlivening, at least for me. It's for others who are really materialistic. The next verse. This now we start with remembering Krishna at the time of death. Ante kale chamam eva smaran va kalevaram yat priyati saman bhavam yati nashtyatra samshaya. Ante kale, at the end of life, cha also, ami, eva certainly, smaran, remembering, muktva, quitting, kalevaram, the body, yahi, hu, prayati, go, sahi, bhakvavam, my nature, yati, achieves, na, not, asti, there is, atrahir, sangcheha, doubt. Here Krishna says, whoever at the end of his life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature, this there is no doubt. So as we mentioned before, don't worry. You are serving Krishna, you love Krishna, Krishna will remember you, even if there's some disturbance at the time of your leaving the body. We got special dispensation. A special dispensation from Krishna. And especially since we're connected to Prabhupada, we get a special, special dispensation from Srila Prabhupada. So we don't have to worry. As long as we engage in service and continue, phew, you got it made. Of course, that doesn't mean you could just like lie around and do nothing. In this verse, the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. So let me explain what that means. For those who are quitting the body, remembering Krishna, then transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord means they take birth wherever Krishna's pastimes are taking place in some material universe. They don't go back to the spiritual planet immediately, but for all intents and purposes, they go back to Godhead because they're with Krishna in his pastimes, because Krishna's pastimes, the Goloka Vrindavan pastimes that live for us, are continually going on somewhere in some universe. They don't just end. They may end in this universe, but they're continuing in another universe, probably described as like a routine spool. So as soon as Krishna does something here, and then in some other, he finishes that in some other universe, he's doing that. Same thing, unlimited universes. I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. So that's what happens at the time of death if you remember Krishna. The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure. Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna conscious is also the purest of the pure. And there's this interesting verse, Om Pavitra Pavitra Va Sarva Vashtami Katopi Va Yaksmaret Pundarikaksham Savaya Avyantara Shuchi Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu. If one remembers Krishna, who is describing this verse as Pundarikaksham, which means lotus eyes. Krishna has beautiful eyes, like lotus petals, it's described. Now, our eyes, at least my eyes, are not like lotus petals. They're like little beads. But Krishna has beautiful lotus eyes. And one remembers him, then yaksmarat pundarikaksham savaya avyantara, he becomes pure. Suchi, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. The word smaran, remembering, is important. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness and devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. If one wants to achieve success at the end of the life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. Lord Chaitanya is advised that one be as tolerant as a tree, Puror Iva Sahishnuna. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. And tomorrow is Ekadasi here, so it's an opportunity to dive more deeply into the holy name. And you'll find when you chant more, you want to chant more. In other words, I find when I chant an Ekadasi, I try to chant 64 rounds. And then when I'm finished with the 64, I just want to keep on going. I just feel amazing. It's like, as Lord Chaitanya describes, it's like a bath for the soul. Like Chaitra Dalpana Majan Bhava Mahadbam in the Dhapan. Shaira Shaira Gaira Chanika Vijabharu Jivanam Anandam Buddhivadanam Pratipadam Purnamritas Fadanam All Sarvatma Snapanam Puram Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Sarvatma Snapanam. It's like a bath for the soul by chanting Hare Krishna. It just cleanses the heart and you feel like so clean and wonderful. Wow. It's amazing. And let's see, what time is it? Oops. Yeah, I guess we can read this verse. This is a very important verse. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chasi yante kalevaram tam kam and vaiti kuntiya sadha tad bhava bhavata. Yam yam, whatever. Vapi, at all, smaran, remembering, bhavam, nature, chachati, gives up, ante, at the end, kalevram, this body, tam, tam, similar, eva, certainly, at, gets, kontio, son of kunti, sada, always, tat, that, bhava, state of being, bhavataha, remembering. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Ooh. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person with the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord, but it is not true that the person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. But you can't just like switch at the time of death, because the mind and everything becomes very disturbed. So whatever is most dear to you, that's what you're going to think of. And we're going to talk about the deer in a second. This is a point one should note very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharata, although a great personality, thought of the deer at the end of his life, and so in next life he was transferred to the body as of a deer. Although as a deer he remembered his past activities, he had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. So what happened with Maharaj Bharata? Just to explain the whole thing very quickly. He was a great soul, a highly elevated soul, and meditated in the forest. And what happened is that there was a baby deer that needed his care because the mother died. And so he took care of the deer, which is fine. But he neglected his spiritual activities and became more deer conscious than Krishna conscious over some time. And at the end of his life, he thought of the deer, became a deer. But this deer actually remembered his past life as Maharaj Bharata. Which is really interesting. He remembered his past life. And so then what happened is the deer just didn't hang out with the other deer. The deer went into an ashram and actually hung out with sages. And then he took his birth in his next life with someone named Jodhbar. So he didn't make the same mistake. He acted like an idiot so nobody would disturb him. There's a whole story of Jodhbar, which we're not going to tell right now. And then he went back to Godhead. If in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness, you need association, good association to live in the mode of goodness, and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental. In other words, even if you're just thinking of serving Krishna, let's say if you're cooking, and you're just thinking of the ingredients, like spicing and ingredients like quinoa. Then you're meditating on quinoa. It's not that you become quinoa in your next life, but you're meditating on it to serve Krishna. Then you go back to Godhead. Then his next body will be transcendental, spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life. And if you were ever with Prabhupada, you would see that he was chanting continually, even when he was talking to other people. The chanting was always going on, and that's the secret. That's really the secret, being absorbed in the Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra is both the means to be Krishna conscious, and it's the end, because that's what they're chanting in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What does the Maha Mantra mean? It means Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, in the vocative form. Oh, Radharani, please engage me in Krishna's service. And so they're all vocative words in calling out. Oh, Krishna's energy. Oh, Radharani, please engage me in Krishna's service. And even Ram, many of us, means Radharaman. Refers to Radharani again. Who is Krishna enjoying with Srimati Radharani. So Radharani gets the first divs in the Maha Mantra. So we worship Radharani. Radhe, 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 Radhe. And I wish I was Govardhan, where I could always be chanting Radhe, 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 Radhe. And there's devotees in Braj who just spend all their time just chanting or writing the name Sri Radhe everywhere and every tree, every building, because she is our worshipable deity. Okay, so now we'll take some questions. We will, unmute you. Give me one second. All right, you are officially allowed to speak. Okay. Oh, Sumukha, you have a question.
Yes. Question. In this class, you have said that Bhagavata Krishna says that and were by the end of life, remembering me alone against my abode. So Krishna is clearly saying, remembering me alone. So we can remember Krishna, but we can also remember other things as well.
Well, me alone means things connect. I mean, let's unpack that. Means things connected with Krishna spiritually, like Krishna's service, Krishna's pure devotees. I mean, I'm sure if I remember Prabhupada at the time of death, I'm going back to Godhead. And if I remember you at the time of death, I don't know what's going to happen.
Heaven, heaven.
Heaven?
Yes.
I don't want to go to heaven. I'm not going to heaven. I'm definitely not going there. Too much sense grab. I mean, many, many years ago, I was the GBC in Hawaii. And it's like heaven there. And it's hard to find serious devotees in Hawaii. I remember sitting down giving Bhagavatam class. I've spoken about this before. And there were no devotees in the Bhagavatam class. And I asked where all the brahmacharis were, and they were all out surfing. Surfing? No. Actually, probably called surfers, sufferers. So, because it's so nice there, you can just live in the forest and pick the avocados with this big. This big avocados. You can see it, actually, this big. You can feed a whole family. Actually, one of the devotees watching right now online, he's actually in Hawaii enjoying life.
Avocado.
In heaven. And we are just here sweltering in North Carolina while he's enjoying life on the beach and surfing and everything like that. Anyway, so I don't want to go to heaven. So I want to go wherever Krishna wants me to go. So anyway, think of something related with Krishna, related with your service, and with it's pleasing to Krishna. But if you think of yourself, like the problem with Bharat Maharaj, I tell you, he thought independently from Krishna, he was the protector of that deer. It's not wrong to take care of a poor baby deer that's helpless. You know, that's not wrong. Probably the right thing to do. But to think that you're independently the protector, proprietor, my dear. Actually, it sounds like what someone's saying in marriage, my dear. And so if you actually think, oh, the Hawaii guy put Hawaii background. So anyway, so. So these, my deer, you know, it doesn't belong to you. How can you own a deer like that? So anyway, but why do people like deer? Because they're so cute. I mean, very few people adopt a pet cockroach. Cockroach is as dear to Krishna as the deer is. Dear to Krishna is you and me. But how many people have pet cockroaches? No, what they do is they spray for cockroaches. So this is Maya. This is the illusory energy. We don't like cockroaches and we love deer. And this type of Maya is that because it appeals to our senses. For example, I'm here in North Carolina and we have these squirrels who come on my porch all the time. And I'm thinking, oh, how cute they are. You know, they're furry and everything like that. And I'm thinking, oh, I wish one of them would come to me so I could pet them. This is Maya. Illusion. Okay.
One more clarification, Gurudev. Okay. You said about Yudhishthira Maharaj, a great devotee of Lord Krishna. And you said,
who
Indra
is?
Came, Yudhishthira Maharaj.
Yudhishthira Maharaj is a great devotee of Krishna, yeah.
Yes, but you just read earlier that Indra came to take him to heaven and go to the spiritual world.
Actually, that's an interesting point that is described in the Mahabharata and also by the Acharyas, that these great devotees, they have expansions that are in heaven. Like Drona and Dara, their expansions of Yashodamayi and Nanda Maharaj, and they're in heaven. So Yudhisthira actually has, anyway, his expansions are in heaven, but he's a pure devotee with Krishna in the spiritual world.
Thank you.
Heaven, Hawaii. Heaven. Now, Fiji's like heaven too.
Yes.
Not Suva. Suva is not like
heaven. Fiji's paradise, Gurudev.
But not Suva. Hey, the ceiling of your office is leaking.
No, not yet. It'll be leaking for long. No, yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
It has to be fixed.
Yeah, we'll organize it.
Yes, you'll fix it.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Thank you, Gurudev.
Okay, who else has a question? No one else has a question. Put yourself on mute. Oh, Radha Padma. Who's that?
Radha Padma.
This is Sudharma.
No, Sudharma.
Yes, this is Sudharma Gurudev.
Okay, I'm just looking.
I have a question regarding text 4 that we just read. How do we respond to a person who may ask that if Krishna resides in our heart as a super soul and knows our past, present, and future, then why do we go before the deities and express our thoughts, desires, and distress?
Why? That's for our benefit. Krishna already knows our thoughts, desires, and distresses. But for our benefit, we establish this loving relationship and reveal our mind to the deities. I mean, Krishna, it is a fact that Krishna already knows. It's not that Krishna just hears something from us and says, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know how much Maya you were in. You know, Krishna knows how much Maya we're in. Krishna knows what we're thinking. Krishna knows every single nonsense thing that we do. You know, it's frightening. I get frightened when I think about that. Oh my God. Isn't there some like lead shield or I can use to shield myself from Krishna, or what do they call it? A cone of silence. No, actually, I'm not frightened. But so it's for our benefit we go before the deities and reveal our mind and have a conversation, because it helps us establish and understand that Krishna is a person, so we can have a relationship with him. That's why. This is practical. Okay, so who else has a question? Oh, nice to see you, Elga. Oh, ask a question. You got to take yourself off of mute. Unmute. You got it.
Oh, hi, Krishna Gurudev. Yeah, I made it finally. Thank you for the class.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
I was actually freezing. but I didn't want to leave the room because I didn't want to be rude. But I was like, that's it. I have to grab some jumper. So I had two questions. One of them was, you were talking about the spiritual beings in the spiritual planets chanting Hare Krishna. So are they constantly doing that while performing service for the Supreme Personality of Godhead while they're doing service? Yeah.
Well, they're singing. They're singing. I mean, they may be chanting Govinda. When we talk about chanting Hare Krishna, there's many different names of Krishna. They may be chanting Govinda Jai Jai, Gopal Jai Jai, Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jai Jai. So everything, see, all speaking there is singing. So it's like, I don't know if you ever heard of a Broadway musical, you know, a musical like that. No?
Yes.
You may have. Yeah. You're from a cultured Jewish family, so you know these things. Like my mother used to take me to all these musicals in New York, and you know, Broadway, and everyone, you know, be chanting joyful. Actually, finally, she took me to Hair, this musical Hair, where they chant Hare Krishna. But I really liked that because they were always dancing, and it was very joyful. It wasn't they were just. I mean, sometimes they would speak in musicals, but it's very nice when you have singing And someone's expressing their emotions with singing, you know, like The Sound of Music and so many other musicals like that. Mm. So the spiritual world is like one big musical.
That's awesome. Nice.
I mean, why should someone just sit and talk when they can sing?
do they also kind of look like Krishna? I read somewhere they have like four arms or something like Krishna.
In the Vaikuntha planets, yes. In the Vaikuntha planets, yes, they look like Krishna or Lakshmi. But however, in Krishna Loka, no, they don't look like Krishna. They're all just like variegated. There's, I mean, talk about racism. There's all sorts of different colored skin there. People have green skin, purple skin, chartreuse skin, red skin, black skin, white skin. It's a real like rainbow festival.
So I think in the Vaikuntha, they're carrying, a shell and get this
kind of conch shell, lotus disc, like that. Yeah.
But not
in Krishna Loka.
Okay, but just in a place where they're carrying all that in their hand. So how do they perform devotional service while carrying all those things in their hands?
That's a good question. I never heard that one before. They put them all down. They put them down, you know, they put them on the kitchen counter.
It's not something that appears in their hands. I was visualizing something that disappears and disappears. They can just manifest it and then
I don't know.
They need to fight or something like that.
We'll have to figure that out. I'm not going there, so maybe someone else is coming and can figure it out. I'm going to Krishna Loka.
And sorry, Gurudev, one last question. You were mentioning before for us to remember Krishna before we die. So performing devotional service and we are chanting the Maha Mantra. So what happens if someone has lost their memory, so someone suffers from dementia or something and they don't remember, but they perform devotional service all their life, will they still?
Yes, Krishna will force himself into the person's consciousness.
Okay.
Like I said before, even if we forget Krishna, Krishna won't forget us for everything we've done for him. So I wouldn't worry about that when we get old. I mean, otherwise, you know, phew, I'm getting old. Of course, I don't have dementia, but.
Thank you, Gurudev.
So Krishna will take care. I mean, I'm not worried about these things because Krishna will take care of it. I mean, if I'm unconscious, I mean, a lot of people leave this world being unconscious, obviously. And so if I'm unconscious, Krishna will take care of me. If I'm serving Krishna my whole life, I understand he will take care of me. Mm-hmm. I trust him 100%. He's not going to, you know, it's not that I'm going to serve my whole life and at the time of leaving my body, I look at my computer or something like that and then forget it. He's going to help me.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna
okay.
will help me.
Thank you.
Don't worry, be happy.
Keep chanting.
And he's in Melbourne.
Thank you. Thanks.
Very cold.
It's freezing.
Freezing there. And the thing is, in Australia, most of the houses don't have good insulation and central heating. In America, we're actually very fortunate. We have central heating, central air conditioning. We just like, and in Hawaii, they don't need anything. The weather is always perfect. It's always better. You don't need air conditioning, you don't need heat. Every day, the weatherman he just plays the same video every day. It's exactly the same weather.
Good day.
But they do have Maya there. Very high degree. All right. Hawaii. Okay, who else has a question?
Gurudev, can you take one more question?
Yeah, one more question.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, my question is, reading Bhagavad Gita, we understand that we have to be Krishna conscious, but a little bit of pain that we undergo, that we become body conscious all of a sudden. The whole concentration is, oh, I'm sick, or my body is not in the right state.
That's very true.
And then how to understand that aspect when at the time of death we'll be having extreme pain, like this little bit of pain that makes us body conscious. That moment, I don't know how it's going to be, but there will be some pain, I'm sure, at the time of leaving our body.
Krishna will, if you're loyal to Krishna, Krishna will take away the pain so you can remember it. Like he did, that's why I gave the example of Grandfather Bhishma.
So in that case, Guru Maharaj, what should be our consciousness at this moment when today, when we have body pains, we should not be body conscious?
No, don't worry about it. Just chant Hare Krishna. What I experienced was, actually this is interesting, before I joined the movement, I was with a devotee, and I was having some pain, you know, stomach pain. And he said, just chant Hare Krishna. And so I chanted Hare Krishna, and then my consciousness went somewhere else. So don't try that at the dentist. That would be very difficult. You know, your dentist has his hands in your mouth. Hare Krishna. But at least in your mind, chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah, that helps.
Don't worry about it. The more you think of getting rid of the pain, the more you'll feel the pain. The more you think about Krishna, then the less the pain will become prominent.
Thank you, Guru.
And also use the pain as an impetus to be Krishna conscious. You know, as it says, no pain, no gain. So pain is necessary in order to, you know, understand the nature of this world. All right?
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
I think that's it. We thank everybody for joining us tonight.
One question, Gurudev.
Okay. Uh-oh. Yeah.
Yes, that's me. I was thinking, Gurudev. Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit for 7 days and night.
That's right.
And when on the seventh day, Maharaj Parikshit left the body and went back to the spiritual world.
Yes.
So my question is, you know, he was just listening to Srimad Bhagavatam for the 7 days, 7 nights. He was not chanting mantra or anything like that. So is it that we can also do the same thing?
No. That's not your service. Any, first of all, you're not going to be attentive for 7 days and seven nights. You'll be attentive for roughly 10 minutes before you're spaced out. I mean, if you go to any Bhagavatam class, I take someone else. Right. If you go to any Bhagavatam class in ISKCON, you look at around, after about 10 minutes, half the people have glassy eyes, because they're not paying attention. And then after about 20 minutes, half the people are, the eyes keep closing and opening. So if you could remain awake with supreme attention for 7 days and seven nights, yeah, but you can't. So we don't do that. It's hard enough for you to chant 16 rounds, to speak of being awake for 7 days, seven nights. Okay, I think we have to end now because it's time. And tomorrow morning is coming soon for me. So we'll see everybody tomorrow, same time, same station. And I guess that's it. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.